Hi. We're glad you can join us today as we continue our study of Jesus Christ's words, telling us the only truth there is of how we can escape death and have eternal life. I know most people, especially those who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, may say, well, I already know that. I know how to have eternal life. My church has taught me that. Or some say, well, a friend or a minister has told me everything I need to know about being saved and about living forever. And others may say, well, I've read the Bible for myself, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and so I'm saved. And there are any number of other good reasons given for people's confidence in their salvation and in their good standing before God. The problem, though, as we will see from God's own words, is that mankind is totally incapable of knowing truth apart from the word and the revelation of God. I know some of the things I'm going to say today may upset some people, but the words will be directly from the Bible and will not contain additions or interpretations of any person or of any church, but these will be God's words as they're given in the Bible. Our purpose in today's program is simply to present what God Himself says is the truth about all things pertaining to salvation and to eternal life. And I hope you'll read these words for yourself in your own Bible and then judge whether or not to believe the words of God or to believe the words of men, because everyone has to make a decision about whether to believe in and follow God's words or to believe in and follow the words of men. This is not about what church we may attend or what we have or have not done in our lives, but it is about whether we choose to live or die. God has provided a way for us to be saved from death, and He's given eternal life now that does not end with the death of this physical body, life that we cannot earn in any way, but life that is freely given by the grace and mercy of God to all who believe in Him. And I'm going to be quoting a number of statements today by Jesus Himself, which speak of life and death and truth and untruth. And I know it's hard to write the references down as we go, so we'll be glad to send you a free CD of this program for your own use, if you like. But to receive this free CD of today's program, which is number 72, you can contact us by phone or by mail or by email and give us your name, address, and the program number you would like. And again, today's program is number 72. That's 72. And our phone number is 501-316-0136. Our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you're welcome to listen to or to download these programs, which are in MP3 audio format, and you can do this from our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And if you don't get this information down now, or if you missed it now, have a pen and paper ready, and I'll repeat it at the end of this study. And we always look forward to hearing from you with whatever questions or comments or suggestions you might have. Now, those of you who regularly listen to our program, which is titled Living in Christ, know that it's focused on escaping the death that we all are humanly born into and being changed and made able through the work of God, not through any works of our own, but through His works of salvation, to enter into His eternal life now. Seeing that our lives here on earth are not equivalent to even the blink of an eye in the eternity of time, what else could be more important to know the truth of than whether to simply accept death as the end of our lives or to look into what God Himself says about truth and life? People say, well, you know, I just don't understand all the things of the Bible. I don't understand theology, and I don't understand all these differences in doctrines and practices that preachers and teachers of Christianity are proclaiming as the truth of God, when each differs in some way from what the others also are teaching as the truth of God. And many say, you know, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I've tried to read the Bible, but I can't seem to understand it. I can't seem to get a handle on what it all means. And people often say, I listen to people who claim to know the truth of God, and yet they're not in agreement with one another. So I wonder how they could be in agreement with God. Everyone presents good-sounding arguments, but, they say, I have neither the time nor the ability to sort all these things out and to determine what is true from all the competing and conflicting teachings in Christianity. And the upshot of it all is that most people who are truly interested in God and in eternal life will, at some point, cast their lot with a group or a church, then trust them to be right and to be competent guides to salvation and eternal life, even though some teachings don't seem to agree with the scriptures. There certainly is nothing wrong with being part of a church and listening to biblical teaching, but it is the responsibility of each individual to learn the truth of God and to believe in and to follow Jesus Christ. The truth of the words of God found in the Bible are not dependent on what any man or any group of men or any church says. God saw to it that His word is recorded in the scriptures in a manner that's easily understood by all people, if nothing's added to or taken away from it, or if no one attempts to interpret it. God's word stands totally alone, though. It is simple, and He meant it to be comprehended by everyone of every educational background. Let me read what is probably the most quoted statement of Jesus in the Bible, and then we'll see if there are any complexities or mysteries involved, or if His words mean exactly what they say, no more, no less, and if they stand alone as the only truth there is. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." These words, that God loved His creation, mankind, so much that He willingly offered up the life of His only humanly born Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice and as a ransom to save all people who would believe in Him. There's nothing that can be added to that by anyone. It stands entirely on its own as God's word. God can do that. Only God can do that. No man or angel or any being can alter those words that God said. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, the only condition that's given by God for eternal life is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Then He says, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. And here's where man has taken Jesus' words and mercilessly twisted and tortured them into something that's totally unrecognizable. Jesus says that believers will not perish, that they will not die, but that instead of dying, they will be given eternal life. And the question for us then is this: are His words in verse 16 believable? And are they acceptable to us with no exceptions? Can we accept His words for just what they say, and no more or less, that those who believe in Jesus are not going to die? He didn't say that their bodies weren't going to die, but He says they're not going to die. He says they have gained eternal life. It's strange and it's sad that most of Christianity does not accept those words as true and complete in themselves. No, people say, and they argue in many different ways in Christianity, all people die. They go to the grave, it is said, and that's true of the body, but not of the spirit and soul, as we'll see. And they say, there they await their resurrection and the judgment of God to decide if they're going to be permitted to live forever. That brings up a major problem, though. If the people saying those things are right, that there has to be an awaiting of the resurrection and the judgment of God, if the people saying that are right, then Jesus has not told the truth. Now, this is interesting because practically no one will admit to saying that Jesus' words in verse 16 are not complete or that they're insufficient. It is said instead that other words of Jesus and of the apostles or prophets must be added to achieve the real meaning of His words. Now, who is it that says such things, though? Is it not men? And how can men decide that something can be added to God's words, or that they have to interpret them in some way to draw out the truth? Many times, men say that God's word, such as we're reading here in John 3 and verse 16, they say this provides a principle, or it provides a basic truth for men to build on, to add to. But what happens when men add anything to these words of Jesus? Have they not changed His word? And where has God ever said that man has authority to modify or to alter in any way his word. The idea that God's words are merely a principle for us to use in filling out God's truth to mankind is to judge his words as incomplete and in need of our filling them out then with our truth. However, as is readily apparent, Christianity has already done exactly that. And you know the result is tens of thousands of different churches with different doctrines and practices that all are supposedly teaching the truth based on God's words, but which are not of God's truth, but are simply the ideas of men. God's words to his people contain none of man's truth. There's nothing that men can add to Jesus' words because they are true and complete in every possible way. And Jesus even anticipates our objections and misunderstandings, as is shown in verses 17 and 18 of John 3. And continuing here in verse 17, he says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus did not come into the world to pass judgment on people. That was done with the rejection of God at the beginning, in the rejection of God as Lord by Adam and Eve. We're their descendants. We're the inheritors of everything that was theirs, including their nature of sin and God's judgment of death. We did not have to earn God's sentence of death by our own actions, although we all sin and we do merit it on our own. And in the same manner, we cannot earn in any way the righteousness and the eternal life of God. It too is inherited through Jesus Christ by believing in him and being spiritually born anew of God. It was not the purpose of Jesus to decide who would be condemned among a world of people who were already condemned. Jesus came into the world of man as a man to save people who had no other hope of salvation. He came to save all who would believe in him as who he actually was, God the Son, who alone had the power and authority to offer salvation to whoever, as we read in John 3:16, to whoever believes in him. And this is what he tells us then in verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believing in Jesus is to believe his words in verse 17, that he came into the world to save people, not to judge them then or to judge them now. And we'll look at what Jesus says more about that in a few minutes. The question, though, is, do we believe just what he says in these few verses, that whoever believes in him will not die but has eternal life, and that he did not come to pass judgment on anyone but to save, and that whoever believes in him is not under the judgment of condemnation unto death? And again the question, though, do we believe that those words we have just read stand alone on their own and cannot be added to or changed in any way by man? Or do we believe they're somehow insufficient and so must be added to or interpreted to make them suitable for mankind? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not judging any person or any church as to either salvation or condemnation. Even Jesus did not do that, and he's not doing that now. He is providing salvation through his person as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, and through his word and truth. He provides salvation to all who believe in and accept him and his words as their only Savior and Lord. It seems as though most people who are genuinely seeking the truth of eternal life just get worn down by the sheer magnitude of all the competing doctrines and practices that are claimed to be the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not only that, though, but the message we receive loud and clear, and we receive it from all sides, is that only through following the doctrines and practices of a person or church can we be saved. Let me read Jesus' words in the same chapter of John, in chapter 3, in verse 36, and here he's continuing this subject of eternal life through believing in him and his word. This is John chapter 3, in verse 36, and Jesus says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." That stands alone. "But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." That stands alone as well. Jesus repeats his words of John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. Then he goes on to say that anyone who does not obey, that is, who does not obey his words, will not see life, but instead the wrath of God, which is death, remains on all who do not believe in the Son. How do they not obey the Son of God, though? It can only be by not believing his words. They're not still under God's wrath for not obeying the Ten Commandments, as many claim, nor for obeying all the doctrines and the rules of a church or denomination, but they're still under the condemnation of God because they have not believed in the Son, and so have not accepted and obeyed his words. And while we're here in the Gospel of John, let's look at one more statement of Jesus concerning all the things of God's one and only saving truth of salvation. And again, this statement of Jesus is totally complete, and it stands totally alone. This is John chapter 5 and verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now let's just consider what Jesus has said here and see if there's anything that we could add. He says that the person who hears his word, and that includes all that Jesus said regarding salvation, and who believes God the Father who sent him to the earth to provide salvation for mankind, has eternal life. You know, that's four or more times in the first five chapters of John that Jesus has said, whoever believes in him has eternal life. So why then does most of Christianity not believe him? And the reason I say that most of Christianity doesn't, surveys done recently by the Barna Research Group shows that more than 80% of Christianity believes that a person has to do something to be saved, not just believe. Some say good works are required, others that baptism and works of repentance are necessary to merit God's approval, but Jesus says only that they must believe in him. Most churches hold that a person must believe and obey their particular doctrines and rules to be saved. But Jesus says only that they must believe his words. And don't you think that if those or other things were requirements for salvation, Jesus would have said that? Instead, though, Jesus says that whoever hears his word and believes God who sent him has eternal life. Now, what can any man or men, or church, or denomination, add to that? No one can add anything to that. Can we human beings add restrictions or requirements to the Word of God that whoever believes has eternal life? What would be our qualifications? What would make us fit to do that? Maybe it would be our lack of knowledge. We wouldn't want to bring that up. Or our temporary sinful life. We wouldn't want to present that either. We have absolutely nothing to offer of ourselves in the way of truth. Almost invariably, though, whenever these words of Jesus are read, saying that whoever believes has eternal life, it's met with this statement. And people say, well, that amounts to just giving a license to sin. But that brings up a greater question then, which is, could Jesus, who was a flesh and blood human being just like all of us, could Jesus have sinned while he was here on the earth? And again, and this is strange, most of Christianity tends to believe that he could have sinned, and many believe that he actually did sin, because they cannot fathom how he could have been a real human being and not have committed at least one sin. The answer to that, and what is meant by believing, was given by Jesus earlier in the first 15 verses of John chapter 3, which led up to verse 16, which we just read. I don't have time to go back through all of that today, but I want to read three of Jesus' statements in verses 3, 5, and 6 of John chapter 3, where Jesus tells a man named Nicodemus, whom Jesus called the teacher of Israel, that to see and enter God's eternal spiritual kingdom, a person must be born again, must be born from above of God's Spirit. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, breaking into the thought here, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus' reply to that was that he didn't know how that could be, but in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And in verse 6, he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When a person is born of flesh, he's a new creation. He's a new human being. In the same way, a person who is born of God's Spirit is a new spirit being and has been born again of God's eternal Spirit. And that's why Jesus says in John 5 and verse 24, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." They have entered into the eternal life of God now as his children. And it comes about through birth. It's just baffling why we refuse to accept the wonderfully simple and complete truth of Jesus' words. And instead, we try to add some kind of complicated, mysterious ideas and words of our own that are not of his truth. And I want to close today in John chapter 12, where Jesus is addressing this very issue of his truth and word. Jesus has given us his words telling us of the only way we can enter into eternal life, which is by believing in him, being born again of God, as we just read. And he goes on to also tell us how to live the new spirit life, though still in this old body with the old nature and pulls of the flesh. In fact, Jesus describes in Matthew's gospel in chapters 5, 6, and 7 what the new creations, the new spirit beings are like, how they're to live as God's children here in a world of sin and unbelief, and how they're to live in these physically human bodies, and how they're going to be totally transformed in spirit, soul, and body. They are spiritually transformed in spirit by the new birth. They are being transformed in mind and soul through the work of God the Holy Spirit within throughout their lives here on earth in these perishing human bodies. And will be complete when the physical body is resurrected or changed at Christ's return and transformed into an eternal spirit body like that of Jesus. The issue, or the subject we've been looking at today, has been, whose words are we to believe? Those of Jesus that stand just as they are spoken and are unalterable, or those of men who have taken Jesus' words and interpreted or added to them in some way and still claim that they're the true words of God? It can't be both, as many claim, and it cannot be a mixture of Jesus' word and man's. Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other way to go before the Father than through him. In John chapter 12, and I'll start here in verse 35, Jesus is telling a crowd of people with many of the religious leaders of God's people Israel that he's shortly going to be crucified. Then his dead body is going to be buried and resurrected and changed. And in John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus says to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you." And he's speaking of himself. And he said, "Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. And he who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. You know, they had heard his words, but they were not accepting them as the truth of God. Verse 38, "This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?'" They had heard, and they could quote you the prophet's words, but there was no real acceptance of their truth. In verse 39, he says, "For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them.'" God had not made them unable to believe his truth through some overwhelming power of his or through some design against them. They had the truth of God in the scriptures and in the prophets and in the old covenant law, but they had changed the truth of God by adding all manner of ideas and interpretations to it, just as had been done in the new covenant truth of Jesus Christ. God would have been happy to heal them of their blindness to his truth and of their inability to understand his words. Instead, they would not accept God's word or believe his truth, choosing to cling to their own beliefs and their own words. Verse 41, "These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him," speaking here of Christ. "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men, rather, or more, than the approval of God." Now let me skip down to verse 47 and 48 before I run out of time. "And in them Jesus again repeats the total authority and truth of his words. And he said, 'If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him,' Jesus said, 'for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world.'" Now this is the same thing that he said in John chapter 3 and verse 17. Verse 48 now. Jesus said, "He who rejects me," that is, who rejects him as Savior and Lord, "and does not receive my sayings," now this is about his words, "he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, my word, has one who judges," and the word "judges" here means to condemn. "He has one who condemns him. And he says, 'The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day.'" Let me read that again. "He who rejects me," Jesus says, "and does not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." Jesus' words will give eternal life to believers, and those same words will eternally condemn all who choose to reject him as Savior and Lord and to not believe his words. Jesus says that those who believe in him and in his words will be saved. God has done, and God will do, everything needed to save believers and to transform them into the image and likeness of Jesus himself, who is the image and likeness of God. It is only the truth of Jesus Christ and his word that saves, though. Man's words profit nothing. Well, if you have a pen or pencil ready and would like a free CD of today's program, you can contact us by phone, or you can mail us or email us, and just give us your name, address, and a program number that you would like. And today's program is 72. It's number 72, and our phone number is 501-316-0136. And our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you're welcome to listen to, or you can download these programs, which are in MP3 audio format, from our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, today's program is number 72, and our phone number is 501-316-0136. And our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And our website address is www.communitychurchofgod.com. Well, we certainly appreciate your being with us today. We hope you can join us again next week as we continue our study of what it means to live in Christ.